It is Thursday, April 18th, 2019, and this is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large. It is 6 minutes after 12. Ahead on our show this afternoon, the Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Alliance is coming to Fort Smith for a conference, and we'll hear about just what happens at such a gathering on this week's edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling and Roby Brock. Plus, the Ood Explained and Played. A pair of concerts in Northwest Arkansas this week feature a renowned player of the instrument. Later today on 91.3, right after Ozarks at Large on Here and Now, President Trump has long claimed complete exoneration. Now Attorney General William Barr is releasing a redacted Mueller report. Coverage will continue as it happens, plus the rest of the day's news on Here and Now from NPR beginning at 1 on KUAF. And the final public meeting relating to the decommissioning of a former nuclear facility in Washington County is tonight. The 6 o'clock meeting is following a barbecue at 5. The session is, according to a press release from the University of Arkansas, designed to celebrate the on-time completion of the project that began in 2016. That same press release indicates all radioactive material has been removed. Tonight's meeting is at the Strickler Fire Department Community Center, and it will include a representative from the U.S. Department of Energy. A growing concern over effects of climate change and an organization's desire to have more people included in conversations about climate change serves as inspiration for a series of 4 events in Arkansas later this month. People will gather in Fort Smith, Fayetteville, Jonesboro, and Little Rock on Saturday the 27th, simultaneously, for the Arkansas Citizens Climate League's Arkansas Climate Accord. Shelley Bonaiuto is helping organize the Fayetteville version of the event this year. She says the sessions serve as both informational exchanges and fundraisers. The first year events helped raise money for a study to examine how a proposed carbon dividend act might affect Arkansas. Money raised this year helps members of the Arkansas Citizens Climate League go to Washington, D.C. to meet with members of the state's congressional delegation. Shelley says that makes a difference.
I think the first year I paid for myself and I went. The next year, 2 of us went. The next year, 4 of us went. The next year, 11 of us went. After that, 18, 19 of us went. And this is because of our generous sponsors are paying for these people. We pay for everything. We rent an Airbnb in D.C., and we all stay in this big house and practice lobbying. And the next day, we fan out and lobby all of our members of Congress.
How do you practice lobbying?
We sit around and take roles. When you are practicing for lobbying, each person takes a role, and one person is the note taker, one person is the leader, one person is the timekeeper. Then you decide who's going to talk about what. And then one of us who have been in the group for a longer time, we take the role of the congressperson. And we act like an Arkansas congressperson and ask the questions that they ask us. And then we practice our answers.
With climate change, you could talk about a myriad of topics.
We do. Actually, we talk about impacts on Arkansas. We found with our members of Congress that they care a great deal about agriculture. And so we talked about impacts of climate change on agriculture. We found rice farmers in Arkansas who are doing a lot to reduce methane in their rice fields. And we talked to our congresspeople about that. They care about that. They care about rural agriculture. They care about rural economies. So we find things that they are able to express their concern about.
You mentioned the first fundraiser was for a report and it helped with lobbying. That's because you had facts, you had figures, and not just emotion.
Exactly. And we were able to prove that our congresspeople are very concerned about the economy, of course. We share that concern. And so CCL National wanted to know the effect of a carbon fee and dividend on the economy. When they did the national REMI report, it showed that 2.8 million jobs would be created, that $1.375 trillion would be added to the economy. 300,000 lives would be saved, and after 20 years, carbon emissions would be reduced 50%. Well, these were good results. We said, well, what would happen in Arkansas? Well, actually, the results were good for Arkansas, too. So we were able to take that to our congresspeople and our congressmen and say, we share your concern about the economy in Arkansas, and this independent modeling firm, this is what they're showing us, that, a carbon fee and dividend is good for Arkansas as well as for the rest of the nation.
You able to meet with the actual senator or congressman
often,
or staff?
Well, yes, Senator Bozeman always meets with us personally. We have a good relationship with him. He's a very personable man, and we enjoy meeting with him. Senator Cotton always meets with us personally. Representative Womack has occasionally met with us. So far, we've not been able to meet with Congressman Westerman or Congressman Crawford, but we always meet with one of their staff. And we have met with French Hill, with Congressman French Hill.
Help me push aside cynicism that this, do you think this is making a difference? When you go and you talk to representatives, you or if you were from Montana or Idaho or New Jersey, wherever, do you think this can make a difference?
I know it has made a difference. I know it has. One of the signs that it has made a difference is that there is a, what's it called, the Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus was created about 3 or 4 years ago with Ted Deutsch, Representative Ted Deutsch and Representative Carlos Curbelo in Florida. And they grew exponentially. They grew up to 90 members. We lost some of those members in the last election, but it's half Democrats, half Republicans, and they discuss climate change issues. This did not happen before. Before Citizens United, in general in Congress, there was more bipartisan work and there was more concern about climate. Citizens United really put a dent in what was happening in Congress in terms of working on climate change. But I know that Citizens Climate Lobby has made a huge difference. In fact, we have several Republicans on our board. Let me emphasize, we are a totally bipartisan group.
Every report that has come out in the last year about climate change has used the word accelerating, that time is limited to act and do meaningful action.
Yes.
Are those conversations that you have inside your group?
Of course. Of course. I mean, we're very, very concerned about feedback loops. We're very concerned about the albedo effect in the Arctic, because as more and more ice melts, the water absorbs more heat than the ice did because the ice reflected it back. And then that increases the heat in the Arctic. And the Arctic, while it might be rising 4% here in the Arctic, it could be rising 20 degrees, or rising 4 degrees here. It could rise 20 degrees in the Arctic. And they have been even at times, I believe, 50 to 60 degrees above normal. And they are seeing much worse effects. Scientists are recognizing much that climate change is, the melt is happening so much faster than was ever even modeled.
Shelley Bonaiuto is helping put together the Fayetteville part of this month's Arkansas Climate Accord at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, April 27th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Simultaneous events will also take place in Fort Smith, at Marble Hall and Garrison, and in Little Rock and Jonesboro. And tomorrow on Ozarks, we'll hear more from organizers about why they think an effective strategy toward battling climate change has to be bipartisan and has to include people from across demographic groups.
Approaches to solving climate change haven't acknowledged the values and they haven't acknowledged the values of various important groups in their society. And until we can acknowledge the values of a representative portion of this country, we can't move forward and try and get something done.
That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF. And ahead this hour on Ozarks, Pete Hartman welcomes organizers of the Ozark chapter of the Young Men's Service League to the community spotlight. The group encourages sons and mothers to work together for a variety of nonprofit and community causes. The conversation ahead. A meeting dedicated to the civil rights impact of mass incarceration on Arkansas is scheduled for Tuesday afternoon at the E.J. Ball Courtroom at the University of Arkansas School of Law. The session, presented by the Arkansas Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, will begin at 1 Tuesday afternoon with a public comment period from 2:15 to 3:30. The meeting is free. It's open to the public with no registration required. However, you must sign up on site to speak. There aren't many musicians who can say they have performed with R.E.M., Bill Frisell, Arturo O'Farrell, and Public Enemy. In fact, the only person who may be able to claim that honor is performing in Fayetteville this week. Rahim Alhaj has dedicated his life to learning the oud since the instrument first mesmerized him as a 9-year-old in Iraq. He's in Northwest Arkansas for a pair of performances sponsored by the House of Songs, the King Fahd Center for Middle East Studies, and the University of Arkansas. Tonight at 6, he'll perform at the Fayetteville Public Library. And tomorrow night, beginning at 7:30, he and the Rahim Alhaj Trio will perform at Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the U of A campus. Yesterday, he stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to talk with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis about the upcoming performances.
I'm going to play solo sets for my composition, and it's kind of going to be like really kind of introduction to people who never saw the oud and talk to them about history, about the oud, and at the same time playing some pieces that written for the oud as a solo. That's Thursday, and then a Friday, which is the big concert at the Faulkner performer at some time. I'm bringing my trio, actually. They call the Rahim Alhaj Trio, which is actually, it's beautiful because I formed this band I called the Axis of Evil because the first I had a fascinating clarinet player from North Korea and the santur player from Iran, and I'm from Iraq, and that's what the Axis of Evil, right? And then the first concert we did actually was in the Library of Congress. And it was a beautiful thing. So the Smithsonian put this record out. So it's called just because Dave, he's really busy with the New York Philharmonic. He's the first chair of the clarinet of the New York Philharmonic, and he couldn't really tour with me. So I made it as a trio. So you will hear santur, Iranian santur, Iraqi oud, and Palestinian percussion. And I composed all this music. This record is called One Sky, and this is with the Smithsonian. It came last year. And we've been touring it around the world from Asia to Australia, New Zealand, Middle East, and whole United States. So we will be performing several pieces composed by me for this trio, basically. And the story, and that's the most important thing, is about the stories behind the pieces. I'm interested in the beautiful sound, but there's a story that's probably Arkansas's people who has no idea about what's going on right now and back home, for example, to give them an opportunity or chance to understand other culture and different color and different music. I'm hoping that there's people they're going to come and enjoy this music.
That was Rahim Alhaj speaking with me yesterday inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. While he was here, he performed a few songs on the oud, including this one he composed this week with local fiddler Michael Scambury.
Morning in Bentonville, right? Thank you.
That was Rahim Alhaj performing yesterday with local fiddler Michael Shembri inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The composition titled Morning in Bentonville. At 7:30 tomorrow night, Rahim will perform as part of the Rahim Alhaj Trio at Faulkner Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $10 to $20 for that performance. You can find out more at faulkner.uark.edu.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals baseball team will host the Springfield Cardinals this week at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. Tickets, game times, promotional calendar, and stats are available online at nwanaturals.com. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra welcomes the return of concert cellist and recording artist Allison Eldridge Saturday, April 27th at 7 p.m. in the Bentonville West Performing Arts Center. Miss Eldridge will perform the Grammy Award-winning Tales of Hemingway Concerto for Cello and Orchestra, recently written by American composer Michael Dougherty. ArkansasPhilharmonic.org for tickets and more information.
This is Ozarks at Large. Artists working for social change are invited by the Mid-America Arts Alliance to apply for $20,000 grants. This comes under a new pilot program called Interchange. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich tells us more.
The Mid-America Arts Alliance new Interchange program will provide grant funding, training, and peer connection to 16 artists with active, socially engaged creative practices. Mid-America Arts Alliance works collaboratively to provide more art to the people of Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas, especially supporting artists living and working in historically underserved communities. Lisa Cortez, Director of Artists Services at Mid-America Arts Alliance, says all the artist applicants must be socially engaged to qualify.
Socially engaged practices involve people and community and organizations as part of the art making, and also using art and art making as a tool to make changes that are broader social changes in the world.
The new two-year Interchange pilot project is supported by a $500,000 Andrew W. Mellon Foundation grant founded in 1969. The foundation, according to its mission statement, endeavors to strengthen, promote, and where necessary, defend the contributions of the humanities and the arts to human flourishing and to the well-being of diverse and democratic societies.
So we started doing some research a while back, well over a year ago, and we first just looked at it from a professional development point of view, asking ourselves, are there skill sets? Are there things that we could create training around to help artists do this work better?
Cortez says compared to studio art projects, artist-led social impact projects require a lot more coordination.
So we wanted to make sure that they had the resources to do that and also that they could be initiatory about it. A lot of artists sometimes work in the context of a nonprofit organization, even a non-arts nonprofit, like a social service organization. But quite often the artists aren't necessarily the architects of those programs. They are just a component of it.
The Mid-America Arts Alliance seeks artists for the Interchange program, working with the public on an artist-led vision that may include research process and or content generation with an intention of social impact outside of traditional audience experience social practice, or artists co-designing a project with the public with the spoken intention to serve a public non-arts partner's self-defined need, civic practice.
Where artists really were at the very center, at the very start of identifying a social issue, a social problem, something, someplace where they wanted to see change.
Solving problems in a structured, collaborative way, including inequality, hunger, poverty, disease, or environmental collapse.
I think there's also some national issues, and those might be immigration or mass incarceration. Some of that work that they do can also be in organizing people and giving, helping give other people voice as they express their voice. So we're just really excited to see in this part of the country what those social issues are, what artists are looking at in their own communities that might need to be changed or changes they want to see.
Cortez says Interchange was initiated in January with the application window open April 2nd. It closes June 3rd. Grant awards will be announced in July with orientations starting up in August.
And then they'll work on their projects all year long till next August, come back for convening. And we hope And then really the project, sort of the final reporting on those projects happens in December. So it really is two full years of activity. But for the artist, it's more like 18 months.
In a press release, Todd Stein, president and CEO of Mid-America Arts Alliance, says artists can be creative first responders to social problems and civic challenges. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
More information and applications available at interchangeartistgrant.art.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Today we're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio with Sherry Asarty, president of what's known as the Young Men's Service League, specifically the Ozark chapter of Young Men's Service League. Sherry, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Pete.
We also have Valerie Switzer and her son, Nico Fidalgo, Young Men's Service League. This is a national organization, correct?
That's correct. It was founded in Dallas in 2001, and it spread nationwide. We're the first chapter here in Arkansas.
Are you still the only chapter?
Yes.
Okay.
We've just completed our second year.
Okay.
We kind of follow the school year. So actually in a couple months will be the end of our second year, and we're ramping up to go into our third. The whole idea behind Young Men's Service League is getting moms and their teenage sons together to do community service. The woman who founded the organization had a teenage son and felt that as he was getting older, they didn't connect as much as they used to. And a friend of mine happened to tell me about this organization. She was from Dallas, and that really resonated with me. I had a son that was going into his sophomore year of high school, and he's my oldest son, and we'd been so close and spent so much time together, and I really just felt like, you know, it's great that he was becoming more independent, but I also really missed sharing experiences with him, doing things with him. I felt like I was a spectator in his life more than doing things side by side with him, and so I just loved the idea of this program. It's great for the community. We have 26 nonprofits that we do work with.
Nice.
In the area. So we're out there. We've done, I think, like about 3,500 hours of community service since we've started.
Sherry Asarty, president of the Young Men's Service League, the Ozark chapter of Young Men's Service League. We're also speaking with Valerie Switzer and her son, Nico Fidalgo. How did you hear about this?
I heard about it through a friend.
Okay.
And questioned her, and she felt very strongly that mothers and sons, as they get a little older, we're just sort of watching them, what they do, and not involved in a lot of their activities. They want to become more independent, but yet they need our guidance still. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to join this league and see what we could do for the community.
Describe some things y'all have done already.
Well, one of the things I think that impacted me the most was we worked in a nursing home where we played bingo on Sundays. And which the residents there take very seriously.
Oh, whoa.
They are very hardcore.
Yes.
With their bingo. And we went in and just played with them, and it was just having fun, making sure they could hear us all and be part of the game, feeling welcome. We brought in people who maybe weren't so sure they wanted to participate and had the kids bring them in. And when we left, when we finished, my son got really quiet, real pensive in the car. And I said, "Are you okay? Did you have a good time?" Because I kind of like to see how he felt about it, or that was good, or
right.
Was that hard? And he said, "No, it's just emotional to see all those people there. And they were just so excited to have something going on a Sunday." And so his final words to me were, "When I grow up, I would like to have some time to do this type of volunteer in a nursing home to work with the elderly and to have smiles on their faces." And that's why we joined.
Wow.
Is just so he could then continue it forward.
Let's hear from Nico. Nico Fidalgo, step on up here. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. You know, when your mom came to me, you said, "Listen, I think there's this thing that maybe, you know, be interested in." Did the eyes roll right out of the head, or, I mean, were you like, "Oh, here we go"?
Yeah, I was, at first, I was really skeptical. I didn't want to do it because I was like, "Oh, who cares, you know? Like, I don't want to be with my mom all the time, you know?" But, like, when I started, that's what I thought, and then each time I would do something else, it would motivate me to do another one. Like, all the service we've done together because it's just a totally different idea whenever you're there helping out people, let alone when you're there with your mom, because there's just a connection there that you don't have when you're just in the house doing whatever. When I was younger, I was always with my mom. You know, we were always doing stuff together. And as Sherry and my mom have said, as I've gotten older and as we've all gotten older, we just sort of stop talking and, you know, stop doing stuff together. So I feel like it was sort of like we would make these commitments to help out people. And not only was it inspiring to do service, you know, and helping out the community, but, like, it also motivated you to do stuff with your mom. Because we would consistently sign up for new events to do with different groups of people. And I would always make sure that I was doing them with my mom.
Our membership drive for our coming year, and we're going to have 190 moms and sons combined in the chapter. So it's really growing. Word's getting out, and people really want to be involved. It's exciting. We're a 501c3, and we do charge dues for membership. But it's all volunteer, basically. Each mom and son has a job in the organization to help keep it running, so there's no staff involved. And we go out and we volunteer, and the dues cover all of our expenses. So no fundraising involved, which is also a plus.
Valerie, let's bring you back in here for a second. Think about for yourself in the past year, how has it affected you?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, and sometimes it can be a bit mundane, and you feel like, you know, yes, you're raising your family, but you're not, you know, creating any more of an impact out there. And this has really broadened my spectrum and going out there and meeting new people, having to visit with other moms, see what they're into, what they're signing up for. We go to mom's meetings, and we find some activity or something to bring us all together for this service that we're providing. So it's really opened up my realm of friendships, and I'm hoping long-lasting friendships from here on out.
What's the best way to learn more?
We do have a Facebook page. It's YMSL Ozark. And you can also find us on the web at www.ymslozark.org.
Sherry Asarte, President, Valerie Switzer, and her son, Nico Fidalgo, taking part in this program. Thank you all so much for telling me about this.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
As always, if something neat in your neighborhood is taking place, let me know about it. My email is pete@kuaf.com. The Community Spotlight, where local matters.
The deadline for submitting an entry into this year's Tiny Desk Contest has passed. It was Sunday. More than a dozen musicians and bands from Arkansas entered the contest. Today, we'll hear from some of those who entered, who are currently, for the most part, based in the KUAF listening area. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis is back. He spoke with some of the local musicians who entered the contest, and he brings us this report.
This year marks the fifth for the Tiny Desk Contest, where songwriters from across the country film themselves, at a desk of course, performing an original song to be considered for the chance to perform at the original Tiny Desk at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Jeffrey Scott lives in Fort Smith, and he says he submitted his original, titled Worth Living For, into this year's contest to see how well the song would be received.
I've been playing guitar, writing songs for a little while. I never really sang in front of anybody or anything like that, and I just wanted to put a song out there and see how people respond, see if anybody took notice or if anybody liked it, you know. Just see if anybody liked my song, really. I mean, that was pretty much the goal.
Things look different with the lights down low. 2 feet apart don't feel too close. Fall on me to where no snow. Follow me to this feeling grow.
Jeffrey Scott says there isn't a particular reason why he chose this particular song to submit to the contest.
I write songs all the time, but then the really good ones I try to, like, put into a list so that I don't forget about them or anything. And there wasn't a particular reason. It was just like I could never eliminate it. You know, I could never say, I don't think this one is good enough to put on the NPR contest. I don't know, it's just one of those that I couldn't find a reason not to.
Another local submission came from Huntsville resident Will Schuster. He says the Tiny Desk Contest is a good way for songwriters to get their music to new listeners. He entered this year's contest after first hearing about it a few years ago from a friend.
Missed the deadline a couple times and, you know, just finally kind of worked up the courage to do it. I think it's a great opportunity to kind of get yourself out there. And there's been a lot of artists that even I listen to now that in the past have been kind of through that.
You said you love me, baby. But then you turned and you walked away. Now it's making me crazy. I hang on to it.
Mo Schuster says he filmed his submission in his living room because he wanted the music and the vocals to be raw and real, and the living room was the prime location to get that feel. He says the song, called Somebody Give Me a Drink, actually wasn't his first choice to enter into the contest.
I have been playing, you know, a lot of shows around Washington County and Eureka Springs and Conway, Little Rock, and areas like that, and it's been very receptive in the crowd. You know, between that and, you know, some friends and my wife kind of being on board and telling me, you know, I think this song would be a good choice. And it just has a good sound to it, I believe, that some people can kind of get into.
Will Schuster may have filmed his Tiny Desk Contest submission in his living room, but other bands filmed around the house as well. The Lark and the Loon filmed their submission in their backyard near Eureka Springs.
There's a time lapse at the beginning of a sunrise. I had a camera out in the yard pointing at that tree. And it was out there for a week. And then I finally looked at the footage. I was like, wow, this was really cool. And then we decided to shoot it after we had done the time lapse. We had no really real reason to make the time lapse other than just for fun. We just saw something we thought was kind of neat, felt inspired to do it, and just sort of did it on a whim, which I feel like is probably the best way to enter into a contest.
That's Jeff Rolfson. He and his wife Rocky are the Lark and the Loon. He says the song that they submitted, Shine What You Got, is one of 12 duets from their upcoming album that's due out in May.
And we decided on that one because it's got a positive message. It's not a song that's super heady, if you know what I mean. So instead of being a song that says like I, me, and we all the time, it's more I'm talking to the listener, it's encouraging, it's cheerful. We thought it would be kind of a nice song to put out there and a nice song to enter because it has such a positive attitude to it. Somebody has been there before. You don't always know where to go or what you are in for. The sky can be blue. Sunshine and starlight are all the same. Whether you're near or far away, you've got to shine what you got, even if it's just a little flame.
Tiny Desk Contest submissions came from all over the KUAF listening area, including from Fayetteville. Chandler Bernard, who goes by Foxpaw on stage, is a graduate student at the University of Arkansas. And while he's currently living in Louisiana working at an internship, he still considers Fayetteville special. The song he submitted, titled Birmingham, references both the Alabama of his youth and the Arkansas of his coming of age.
It's something that I wrote basically between the time I graduated my undergrad in Alabama and moved to Arkansas for grad school. So it's just a story that's important to me. It's a story about choosing to love someone forever. And I tied in a lot of the geography and folk stories from growing up in Alabama, and then some of the geography and folk stories from living in Arkansas in there. So I thought it was a nice story to share.
The moon over Skull Creek reminds me the shine in your eyes, bathed in my headlights as I dropped you off that night. And I asked you to wait, leaned in to kiss you, and I swear I fell in love as the sounds of the cicadas rise. Back when everything was simple, when it all made sense, and all we had was ourselves and our happiness. But summer bled into fall, I felt the flames start to die. I tried frantically to fan them, to keep them alive. But winter came on stronger, the kindling gave in.
Chandler Bernard says his current living situation in Louisiana placed limitations on where he could actually film his Tiny Desk submission.
I only have one desk in the place I'm staying at, and it's the one that I filmed in front of. And the rules for the entry is there has to be a tiny desk in the video.
Other bands from the KUAF listening area who submitted entries to the Tiny Desk contest include Route 358, Serrano Torres, Foggy Bobcat, and Ashton Barbary. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
My worst, and with rock bottom is my foundation. I love you even if it hurts.
And the winner of the 2019 Tiny Desk contest will be announced in the middle of next month. This is Ozarks at Large.
Welcome to this edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Coming up next week in Fort Smith, the Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Alliance is hosting the Mid-America Aerospace and Defense Summit. We will hear from Executive Director Chad Causey to find out what's on the agenda. But we begin our report today first with an earnings report. Three of them, in fact, from publicly traded transportation companies PAM Transportation and J.B. Hunt, and White River Bank Shares. That's the holding company of Fayetteville-based Signature Bank of Arkansas, and its shares, as of this past December, now trade over the counter. PAM Transportation earnings per share rose to a record level. In its Monday earnings report, the Taneytown-based carrier reported net income rose nearly 500% in the first quarter to $8.3 million, or $1.39 per share. That's up from $1.39 million, or 22 cents per share, in the same quarter of 2018. J.B. Hunt also reported its first quarter earnings on Monday. The company saw an increase in profits and revenue as a result of rising rates and new customer contracts, but the numbers did not rise to the levels expected from most analysts. The Lowell-based carrier reported net income in the first quarter rose by 1.2% to $119.6 million, or $1.09 per share. That was up from $118.14 million, or $1.07 per share, in the same period in 2018. And White River Bank shares reported Monday its first quarter net income was $1.16 million, a jump of more than 6% when compared with the same quarter of 2018. If you want a deeper dive into those earnings reports, we've got it for you on our website. Just visit nwabusinessjournal.com. When we come back, we'll hear from Chad Causey with the Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Alliance. You're listening to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report here on Ozarks at Large.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom provides communications options to help your business adapt to today's demands with tomorrow's technology. With opportunities in virtualization, redundancy, or maximizing your efficiency. Learn more at onecom.com. That's one-COMM.com.
Next week, groups from across the South and Midwest will join together for the Mid-America Aerospace and Defense Summit in Fort Smith. The event is presented by Lockheed Martin Missiles and Fire Control and is scheduled at the Fort Smith Convention Center on Wednesday and Thursday. The program will include remarks by Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, Arkansas Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin, Congressman Steve Womack, and Arkansas Economic Development Commission Executive Director Mike Preston. Chad Causey is the Executive Director of the Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Alliance. That's a group of public and private aerospace companies, government agencies, and educational institutions that collectively promote the aerospace, aviation, and defense infrastructure in Arkansas. Causey spoke earlier this week with Roby Brock about the reason for the summit in Fort Smith and just how big is the aerospace and defense industry in Arkansas.
We've done an Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Summit for a number of years. We actually did our 10th one last year. Our board wanted to make sure that we were pursuing more connections from a regional level in terms of aerospace and defense opportunities for Arkansas companies to connect with those aerospace and defense companies in the region. And so now we're going to be doing the Mid-America Aerospace and Defense Summit.
Where?
It will be in Fort Smith at the Fort Smith Convention Center on April 23rd through 25th. We've got a great lineup coming, and we're looking forward to it. I'm excited about it.
I think when everybody thinks of aerospace and defense, they think defense, they think Camden.
Sure.
And they think aerospace, they think Dassault Falcon.
Sure.
there's a lot more to it than that in Arkansas. How Absolutely. Big is the aerospace and defense industry in Arkansas?
It's big, and it's, in fact, it's our number one export to the world is aerospace goods and services. Roughly 10,000 jobs are aerospace and defense jobs here. 180-plus companies are aerospace and defense companies. We have aerospace and defense manufacturers, defense contractors, as you mentioned, down in Camden, jet, business aviation, aircraft interior finishing operations that include Dassault and many others, custom aircraft cabinets, galley support innovations. But you also have companies like Triumph that has two facilities in Hot Springs. You have lots of companies in Northwest Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas. It's all over the state. It's a big industry for us.
Where are we primarily exporting to? Are we exporting to other states? Are we exporting to other countries?
Other countries all over the world. Dassault Falcon Jets sells high-end business jets all over the globe.
Do you have your $40, $50 million private
not
jet?
Yet.
You're
not yet.
Working on it?
I've got my piggy bank at home that I'm saving, and maybe in about 3,572 years, I might be able to make the down payment.
Good luck with that.
I need it.
Where do you think the industry is heading? I mean, are we seeing an increase in employment? Are we seeing an increase in demand at this point in time for these products?
2019 is, to all forecasts that are out there that I have seen, is showing an upward trend for aerospace and defense. There's a 14,000 plane backlog. It's the largest it's ever been globally for aerospace. In the next 20 years, we're expected to see 38,000 aircraft built and put into service throughout the world. So the demand is there. And the challenges for the industry here in Arkansas and globally is going to be whether the supply, the suppliers for those OEMs can ramp up to meet that demand. And I think we can. And on the defense side, you have seen larger budgets, larger appropriations that have been coming out of Washington for defense spending. We have a lot of hot spots throughout the world with, so you see Japan ramping up defense spending. You have seen the EU start to ramp up in certain places.
Certainly in the Middle East. A lot of contracts there.
Of course, a lot of contracts. Lockheed had a very sizable contract in the Middle East just recently. The Korean Peninsula is another area where that is creating more need for national security interests both here and abroad. So all signs and forecasts are pointing to growth in both aerospace and defense.
So to meet that demand that you see rising in the near future as well as currently, you got workforce issues are kind of a number one priority for these industries.
It is, and that's, again, not unusual for Arkansas. We're in the same boat with other companies or other states throughout the U.S. We've got to increase trained and skilled workforce to participate for our companies.
These are advanced manufacturing jobs primarily. I mean, quite frankly, somebody that's good with gaming equipment might be more qualified than, say, a welder.
That's true. Yeah, advanced manufacturing. So we've got companies that are manufacturing widgets all over the state for that are creating various components for aircraft, for helicopters, for missiles down in Camden. So those manufacturers, the basic skill set is STEM. And so we've got to continue to focus heavily on STEM here in the state, which I think we've done.
That's Chad Causey with the Arkansas Aerospace and Defense Alliance. They have a conference coming up next week, Wednesday and Thursday, at the Fort Smith Convention Center. You can find out more at arkansasaerospace.com. And that's all the time we have today. Don't forget to tune in Sunday morning on the weekend edition of Ozarks at Large for another edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until then, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large, and because this is sweeps time, when we try to get as many listeners to tune in as possible, I've invited Lee Wood, our membership director, to come in and talk to us about membership login on computers. whew, the rating's going straight up.
I'm like, that's a lot of pressure.
This is okay, I make fun, but this is pretty cool.
This is a very cool new feature that we have on our website at KUAF.com, and it's called KUAF Member Login. If you're on our homepage, you will see this button on the right-hand side of the page. It's bright red. We try to make it very easy to find. And what it is a place for you to go create an account online. You have to create a username and a password, but then you can go into your membership and you can control your contact information. If you have an address you need to update, if you need to remove someone or add someone to your account, if you want to change the way you're paying and that credit card or bank information, you can even print yourself your own tax receipt.
Oh,
I know, we're a day late on that one, but you have all year.
Yes, okay. So all you have to do, if you're a member, just go to KUAF.com.
KUAF.com, click on the red member login button, and then start creating your profile. And there's a lot of stuff you can go in and see. You can see your whole giving history. So we're hoping people will go in and start kind of taking control of their information.
All right. Lee Wood, Membership Director at KUAF, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle.
The Bentonville Film Festival and visitbentonville.com present the 5th annual Bentonville Film Festival, May 7th through the 11th. Attendees will enjoy film screenings, panel discussions, community events, free movies in the park, biking, and more. BentonvilleFilmFestival.com for tickets and information. 91.3 is supported by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, presenting Men of Steel, Women of Wonder, a new exhibition with over 70 paintings, photographs, installations, videos, and more by over 50 artists. Featuring the art world's interpretations of Superman and Wonder Woman. On view now through April 22nd. CrystalBridges.org for more information.
All right. Contributors to the show today included Timothy Dennis and Jacqueline Froelich. Not only did Timothy bring us some of the Arkansas Tiny Desk participants and Sounds of the Oud from the Furman Garner Performance Studio, but he also mastered our show today. The Community Spotlight is produced by KUAF's Pete Hartman in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio here. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling comes to us through our collaboration with Talk Business and Politics. Thanks to Lee Wood, KUAF's Membership Director, for coming by as well today. And the Ozarks at Large theme is titled First to Raw. It is written and performed by Daryl Sean. His new album is titled Safe in Sound. You can learn more about Daryl at his webpage, darylshawn.com. And many days you can find him on Facebook and Instagram actually playing his guitar live. A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Clarksville. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. We end many of our shows with music recorded just for us at the Carver Center for Public Radio. That's music that's curated by Antoinette Grajeda. Today, Antoinette has selected the song Is There a Difference? By Cameron Johnson. Cameron will be one of the artists playing the Green Heart Festival. He'll play Saturday night at 6:20 at Nomads in Fayetteville. You can find out more about the festival, it's at different locations, at thegreenheartfestival.com. You can find out more about Cameron Johnson at the Cameron Johnson Facebook page. Thanks so much for spending part of your April Thursday with us. We will be back tomorrow at noon and 7 for a new edition of Ozarks at Large on 91.3 KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Is there a difference between right and wrong? Cause I'm the last one standing while everyone's gone. When I've lacked for words, I sang you a song. Tell me, what is the difference between right and wrong? We're fading day by day. We're slowly but surely we're on our way. Between all the seasons, most things will change. I'm here, then you're gone, and we're not the same. Gone, and we're not the same.